AM 570 LA Sports.
I want to hear it, man. I'm desperate to hear it.
This is the Petros and Money Show.
Best case scenario.
Mad Money Smith.
Worst case scenario.
Petros Papadakis.
What am I doing here? I'm humiliated.
Available on the iHeartRadio app.
Now online at am570lasports.com.
This is Petros and Money.
Look at him. He's crazy.
Man. Wow, man. Freak out.
Hey, everybody, this is John Mayer.
I apologize to Laker fans.
We will handle it. We will handle it.
And it's hard.
Michael, I just sent you an email with the diagrams where the car should be. Did you receive that?
Toto, I don't access my emails during a race deliberately because I concentrate on the race.
I'm coming up!
Yeah, then you should maybe look at this because there is something with the rules. I'm coming up.
Some hearts are hidden. Some have not a heart.
Strong it out, Vic. It's hometown refereeing right there, man. Hometown. That's in Austria. Hamilton's out. Silverstone.
We can't,
you know.
The hunger roaring is going to tell the tale, though, Matt.
Damn right.
It's going to be a hell of a season in
F1. I'm coming up.
Just like the Dodgers and the Giants battling it out, we'll have Morongo Casino Dodgers on Deck featuring Tim Cates at 6. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. It's a crunchy groove on Thursday. And, man, we can't wait to get out to see you at stop number 6 of the PMS Chevy Summer Tour from 3 to 6 at Brewery X in Anaheim tomorrow.
Right off the 91 freeway in Orange County. Ample, wide-open space
bring
outdoors.
Bring your friends. Bring everybody.
Bring your friends. Bring your family. We got outdoor space. Giant patio. If that's what you prefer, you want to go inside, great. Giant indoor space as well. And we will be there for 3 hours. You could be our Tour Stop number 6 finalist to win that Chevy Silverado. You'll register there. We'll give away tickets to the Bellator MMA Featherweight World Grand Prix Finals. A lot of buzz around the fight at the Forum. Saturday, July 31st, you just heard from AJ McKee, Pitbull v. McKee. On Saturday, we got tickets to give away for that. And, of course, Dodger tickets, Magic Mountain tickets, a whole host of giveaways tomorrow from 3 to 6 p.m. Come see us at Brewery X in Anaheim.
BFF Don McLean is supposed to join us in the very next segment. But right now, it is time for the Final Hour Fun Fact.
It's fun in effect. It's the Hour 3.
Fun Facts! Fun fact!
We are your aviation show of record.
Come on, Aviator Nation show.
And it's not even close. The phrase, balls to the wall, comes from aviation. Ball-shaped handles controlled the throttle and fuel in early jets, and putting the handles closer to the wall resulted in the fastest possible speed, hence, balls to the wall.
I'll never forget.
We are your balls to the wall show.
There's not a doubt. And that goes back to the late 90s in football camp. My roommate was Brennan Oakes, a fullback from Maryland. His father wrote a letter once, like a motivational letter, like week and a half into a three-week camp. And the end was like, and don't forget, son, it's balls to the wall every time. And you got the balls. And we just couldn't stop saying that. The rest of the
and
camp,
you got
like,
the balls.
Hey, balls to the wall today, boys. And you got the ball. It's time for quick hits, everybody, and you got the ball.
The PMS quick hits. I'll make it quick, y'all. Oh, yeah.
And remember, it's balls to the wall every time. And you got the ball. Well, the biggest deal is the Dodgers blowing it last night. They needed that game. If the victory the night before was big, what was the loss the night after? It's time for David Vasse, our Dodger reporter.
The home of the Dodgers.
With an inside look at the Dodgers, this is the Vasse Report with David Vasse.
Spectrum Sportsnet LA, David Vasse, MLB Network, our station at AM 570 LA Sports. The one and only David Vasse. Hot calls last night, as Vasse has been a big proponent of Kenley Jansen's over the years. Brought to you by Navi and Tankless Water Heaters. Feels like Kenley's in one of those tanks. I'm just kidding. @_DV on Twitter. What's cracking, Dave? How are you?
Everything's great, guys. I'm here at Dodger Stadium. Corey Knebel is throwing another sim game. Sheldon Noisy is in the batter's box. I think that's Seager coming up after him, but I'm not quite sure. So we got action here at Dodger Stadium.
What did you're very close with Kenley. I assume you had a conversation with him last night or today. This is twice now. Two bad ones.
Yeah, well, number one, it was more troubling to see what he was wearing after the game than what I saw in the ninth inning, because that can be fixed. But the wardrobe selection, it was like Nike sent him the outfit that Michael Jordan was wearing on an off day in Barcelona, Spain during the Olympics Dream Team run. Yeah. So that was more troubling that he chose to wear that when he got to the podium than what I saw on the mound, or equally as troubling.
So what did he say? What's going on with him?
It was just a bad night. I mean, honestly, guys, there's no analysis to be provided here. It was a bad night. He was throwing 92, had no movement on his cutter. It was just one of those really bad nights, and it was not an ideal game to have that bad night.
Well, there it is. How big was the loss then, Dave? If the walk-off from Will Smith was huge, what was this?
Well, it makes the Will Smith walk-off even that much bigger, because they would have been four games back in the loss column if they would have lost that game after trailing 6-1. So I would say tonight, I don't want to call it a must-win for the Dodgers, and I don't believe the Dodgers would either, but it's as big of a game in July that you can have in this situation, because not only would you drop further back in the loss column, but more importantly, this is the last game the Dodgers will host the Giants for the rest of the season. They play six more times, including next week, and all six are in San Francisco, where that team is a lot better than what they are on the road. So that's why I would say this is as close to a must-win in July that you have.
I mean, it's a bad deal to blow the save, but the Dodgers also only scored two runs, and they do seem to be struggling a little bit. At least certain people continue to struggle at the plate. And I know we've asked before, Dave, but just if you can, I assume the conversations are still being had of how you balance out just exceptional defense from Cody, and we saw it last night with absolutely nothing happening at the plate.
Yeah, the problem is, Matt, they have nobody else. And I think that's the great eye-opener in this series, that the Giants' organizational depth is much greater this year than what the Dodgers have, because even a Cody Bellinger that only has five hits in the month of July is still better than Zach Rex or DJ Peters or Billy McKinney. He's better than all those guys. So I'm sure Dave Roberts would love to bench him and give him a breather for a couple of nights, but he has nobody else. So they have to ride it out and maybe drop him lower in the batting order.
David Vasse is our guest. Is Mookie Betts coming back anytime soon?
I think he's going to the injured list. He's not in the starting lineup again tonight. Yeah, so I feel like, as I told you yesterday, it's looking more and more like that becoming a real possibility.
And Corey Seager?
Corey Seager, Dave Roberts, from what I spoke to him yesterday after we talked, and it sounds like it's becoming more and more likely that Corey Seager is going to go out and play some rehab games to get at bats and then be activated, because the Dodgers' thinking is they don't want to activate Seager and then have him play two games and then have a night off. I think it's a mutual agreement between Seager and the Dodgers that it's better to activate him and just let him go with less than 70 games to play this season. So that's the thinking behind that. And if that's the case, you're not going to see Seager on this homestand. You may see him possibly at the end of the next road trip.
All right, Dave, maybe you can reach out to Lee Klein. He used to wear one of those paper-like Olympic jackets.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that? I think it was Barcelona. It may have been. It might have been Salt Lake City or something like that.
He made some free clothes from 20 years ago work.
He really did. So you might be able to connect with Kenley on that front.
And say hi to Gabe for us, please. Congratulate him on the victory.
I won't, but okay.
All right. I'm not sure what to do with that. He won't, but okay.
The defiance.
It's kind of the okay, but there's an I won't.
The defiance of SA.
Will he be joining you in the next segment?
Who do you got tonight in about an hour on the Morongo Casino Dodgers on deck?
Yeah, you may have heard of him. He's a future Hall of Famer by the name of Tio Albert. Albert Pujols will be joining us tonight at 6:45.
Uncle Albert with Vasse at 6:45. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, Dave.
You know, Matt.
Oh, thank you, guys.
Yeah, just get out of here. There are some NFL news and notes as well, Matt. After the COVID-19 thing, they're going to say, like, if your game, if you can't field a team in the NFL, kind of following the SEC's lead from last week, if you can't field a team, you're going to forfeit. So you better get vaccinated if you're running down to the kickoff, or we're going to cut your ass.
If you're vaccinated and you test positive, you won't have to forfeit. But if you're not vaccinated and you test positive, then you're going to have to forfeit. Really is brilliant wording by the NFL on how they've decided to approach the, oh, no, it's not mandatory to get vaccinated at all. But if you aren't vaccinated, well, you can't leave the hotel.
Yeah. Sounds a lot like the
guys.
It sounds a lot like the optional summer workouts. They're very optional.
They're very good at that.
Yeah.
Voluntary.
We used to have to optionally take creatine until somebody's kidneys optionally failed, and then we were no longer optionally signing in to take our creatine.
With those EAS logos.
Well, it was all about recovery, man. It was just all about recovery.
Awesome.
The Big 12 held an emergency conference call today with the athletic directors to discuss reports of Texas and Oklahoma reaching out to the SEC and joining the league, in which they will be blocked from doing so by the Bible Belt.
And the Milwaukee Bucks had their championship parade today. All of Milwaukee taking an unofficial/official holiday, hanging out in that park where they have Summerfest every year. Hundreds of thousands to a million people celebrating the Milwaukee Bucks' first NBA championship in 50 years.
Zito Elas. And congratulations to LeBron James.
LeBron James.
$1 billion athlete earning endorsements while still active. Just the fifth athlete in history to pass the billion in career earnings while still active. You got Tiger Woods, Floyd Mayweather on the cash phone, Cristiano Ronaldo with his sweet airport statue likeness.
And no shirt.
And Lionel. Lionel Messi.
They got tax issues. I think that may get adjusted. That $1 billion may get adjusted. You know, you can't just not pay the government.
How are you worth $1 billion and you have tax issues?
What the hell are you doing? Tax fraud. Oh, yeah. Congratulations, LeBron. That's very exciting. We're all happy.
Speaking of the NBA, we're going to talk to another $1 billion athlete, Don McLean, in the very next segment. Our BFF is going to bring it out about the NBA as we continue on AM570 LA Sports, your home of the Dodgers, Dodgers-Giants tonight. PMS live at Brewery X at 3 o'clock for the Chevy Summer Tour in Anaheim tomorrow. Be there.
The color of the sun and his eyes were green. He had the nerve and he had the blood, and there never was a horse like the Tennessee Stud.
Petros and Money.
PMS.
With LA Sports. Now.
Petros and Money, AM 570, LA Sports. Tomorrow is the sixth stop of the PMS Chevy Summer Tour. We're going to be live on location in Orange County. Not LA County, Orange County.
Different county.
Brewery X Anaheim, right off the 91 freeway at Glassell. 3191 East La Palma. Giant, wide open outdoor patio, indoor space at Brewery X. Plenty of room. Beer pong, cornhole, 60-plus beers on tap, and most importantly, a chance for you to be our sixth Tour Stops finalist to win that 2021 Chevy Silverado. There'll be QR codes all over the tables for you to register to be the winner from that on-site location. All the details at am570lasports.com/Chevy.
Joining us right now, he finished Camp McLean for CAA today for all his draft picks. Now he's got to send them off into the world, into the giant ocean of professional basketball, like those little turtles that struggle to get to the sea. We can't help them now.
Dumps them out of that laundry.
They've got to walk on their own. And if you're a coyote, good luck getting to the ocean. They'll probably shoot you with a BB gun. The great Don McLean, ladies and gentlemen. Leading scorer in the history of UCLA and the Pac-12. He works for the Pac-12 Network, CAA, the Clippers. And, of course, he is the proprietor of the Conejo Valley Basketball Club. The next ass he kisses will be the first. Don McLean on PMS, the Chevy Silverado Celebrity Hotline. Hello, Don.
Yeah, we just finished setting the North American record for longest pre-draft in the history of pre-drafts.
Why did it take so long?
Because they pushed the calendar back. They pushed the draft back by a month, so the college calendar didn't change, so they were all done, you know, depending upon when you lost.
They got tired of you?
Yeah, middle of March, April. So usually we have them like April 1 to June 1, and then they go off and start working out for teams. But because they moved it back, guys wanted to come out. So we essentially added an extra month this year.
Is it like Tom Cruise coming back to Top Gun? Like, I'm going back to teach. Did it kind of feel like that? Like these guys were there forever?
Well, I don't mind doing it. I really don't. The problem is it gets a little stale, I think, for these guys. I mean, think about it. You move somewhere for 3 months. You're living somewhere in the same place, going to the same gym every day for that long. It just gets a little monotonous. We tried different things this year to change it up and give them different looks. But it gets long when you're doing it that for that long. We're typically 7-8 weeks. This year it was like 12-13 weeks.
What about working out for teams, Dom? I mean, the finals just ended a couple days ago. Were teams doing workouts? Was there anything happening?
Oh, yeah. They started probably a month ago going around to teams. Now, it's hard for teams still in the playoffs like the Suns and Bucks to do it, but they do. I mean, we've had guys work out on finals games days. With the staff and the front office people. So, yeah, they've been in and out for the last month. Today was the official last day because everybody's gone for good. Most guys will start either going home or head to New York for the draft next Thursday. But, yeah, I mean, these front offices do a good job of coordinating all this, getting guys in. But, yeah, it's harder to do when you're still playing.
What's the class look like this year? I mean, we got examples on both teams, right, with Horton Tucker of the Lakers, you got Terrence Mann for the Clippers. These guys drafting guys later in the draft that are big-time contributors.
Yeah, I mean, it's not an easy thing. I get to see it because I see these guys every day, like I said, for 7-8 weeks typically. So I got a real handle on not only who they are on the court but off the court. These guys try and figure it out by watching film. They have them in for one workout. They maybe take them to dinner. So how much can you really accumulate in that amount of time? And so it's a bit of a crapshoot, and you never know. You know, you never know the situation a player goes to, if he fits it. Does he fit in the locker room? And so the real sharp front offices kind of do more due diligence, I think, than others. But a lot of it, Matt, really is luck and what's inside the kid. Does the kid want to be great, or does he just want the money? You know, does he want to win a championship, or is he just there for the paycheck? And that's hard because when you're interviewing a kid, he's obviously going to say all the right things. But again, for me, it's easier because I can kind of sniff that out after 3, 4, 5 weeks. You kind of know what the kid's about. The teams, unfortunately, just don't have the luxury of all that time.
The great Don McLean is our guest at WearItSnake on Twitter, but though he does not check or know how to access the account. Don, were you inspired by the performance of the Greek Freak? You've been critical of his style. But you know what he is. You saw him in the finals. You see the marks. What did you think? How bad did the NBA need a guy like that to win a title?
Well, I don't think the NBA needed it, but I do think it's great for the league that seemingly a great dude, you know, by all accounts, won the championship and was the face of that Bucks team. You know, I was wrong. I thought that teams would be able to game plan his lack of shooting, and they just couldn't. The guys, that's why he's a freak, man. He's so big, so strong, so fast, so explosive, that as much as you try and build the wall that we heard a million times the last month, he just overwhelms it, and he overwhelmed him in game six. Now, I will say that as great as he was, their defense was just as great, and their defense on Devin Booker and CP the last four games of that series was lights out. So, yes, it was Giannis and his overwhelming performances, but their defense, and Budenholzer deserves credit because he made some adjustments, he changed some things that he was doing, and they worked. And Drew Holiday was a great addition, P.J. Tucker was a great addition, Bobby Portis. So John Horst, their GM, deserves a lot of credit for what he put together as well. But, yeah, Giannis is going to get all the credit, deservedly so.
Don, is it a complete outlier because it's Giannis, and as you said, you know, and everybody calls him a freak. He's just different than anybody else in the league. But, you know, this was the first finals, it felt like, where it just wasn't really three-point heavy. I mean, and it was both sides. You know, it was a lot of pick-and-roll action with Ayton in the paint. It was a lot of Chris Paul, mid-range jumpers, you know, floaters in the paint. It certainly felt like it was different. Do you feel like maybe that the pendulum is swinging back to a little bit more action inside the arc?
I do, and I think that's what happens in the NBA. Defenses start to evolve. If you're doing something for too long, eventually teams and coaches will figure out how to play it. So then you have to counter that. And I think you're right, Matt. We are starting to see more of a counter of, okay, we're going to have dummy action on one side that leads to the real action on the other, and it's going to lead to one more pass three. I think teams are learning how to defend that. So now it's about top ball screens, side ball screens, getting into the lane, and then the decision-making, because all these great small guards, the Trae Youngs, the Chris Pauls, the Steph Currys, are so good and so and such good decision-makers that you want the ball in their hands, and you're not relying on guys to make threes. And I'll tell you what, it was obvious in Game 6. Jay Crowder was open a lot, wasn't he?
Yeah.
That was for a reason. There's a reason Jay Crowder was open a lot in Game 6.
And he missed a lot of open threes.
Exactly.
In that game. The one local interest, you mentioned
he
his name.
He has a very expressive face.
He does.
When
he
misses or anything that happens, when he gets a foul, like you can really feel it on his face.
The local, and you mentioned his name, Drew Holiday, and it's an interesting player because he's considered one of the best defenders, but then sometimes you look at that offensive stat line, and the guy was, what, 1-for-11, I think, through the first three quarters? Mm-hmm. So how is that someone that was routinely identified at the trade deadline or in the offseason as a difference maker, as someone that would change a team's fortunes when it comes to winning a title? Because, you know, that was their big move, right? They made some smaller moves with Tucker and Portis, but Drew Holiday was their big move, and it certainly paid dividends in the form of an NBA championship. What does he do out there?
What he does is he takes on the biggest challenge defensively, and I think some nights that takes away his offense. You know, Drew's not a great offensive player. He's a great defensive player. He's a good offensive player, not a great offensive player. And I think guys like that focus on the defensive end are a little more inconsistent on the offensive end. And not only that, when you're playing with Giannis, there's nights where you're not going to get the ball that much. And so it's hard when you're getting limited opportunities to really get in rhythm and make a lot of shots. And I don't know that for sure because I haven't talked to Drew about it, but I think being around the league as long as I have, that's probably the case. But I've always liked Drew Holiday as a player. Even at UCLA his freshman year, he didn't put up big numbers, but he just has this way about him and this confidence and this demeanor that you just like. If you were coaching him, you would just like watching him play because he's about the work, the defense. And if you get great offense from him like you did in the last couple of games of that series, that's a bonus and could put you over the hump like it did.
More likely NBA offseason scenario, Don, Chris Paul to the Lakers or Kawhi leaves the Clippers?
Well, I don't think either of those two are happening, so I'm not sure which one's more likely.
Oh, so you're just
going to
shoot me down like
that's
the
it.
Freaking
you're
Red
out.
Baron?
You're out.
A sop with Campbell?
Terrible hypothetical.
Jesus.
Pete, please ask me another question.
I don't like it.
So it's hot outside, isn't it?
I think Chris Paul galvanized Phoenix. I think the fact that they didn't win it, I think will motivate him to try and win it again next year. They can add some stuff in the offseason. And I don't think Kawhi's going anywhere. You know, it's hard to say I need to go somewhere else when you're coming off an ACL surgery. And not only that, I think everybody agrees, the three of us do, because we've talked about it. If Kawhi doesn't get hurt, the Clippers win it this year.
Yeah.
And so I think Kawhi sees that, and I think they'll run it back. Hopefully he can get back in time next year so that they can be, you know, a contender in the playoffs.
All right, then what about the rumors that are percolating today of a Talen Horton-Tucker, Kyle Kuzma, sign-and-trade Dennis Schroeder to the Wizards for Russell Westbrook? Does that make sense to you?
You know, it just depends on where LeBron's at. Like, does he want to play more off the ball now? Does he still have the juice left to play as much as he does, as many minutes dominating the ball? You know, the thing you worry about with that is Russell, although he has improved, he's just not a great perimeter shooter. You need perimeter shooting around LeBron and AD. You have to have guys that are knockdown three-point shooters. So as great as Russell Westbrook is he a great fit with the Lakers? I'd have to think about it a little more, but off the top of my head, I don't think that makes a whole lot of sense, to be honest.
Have you seen Space Jam?
I have not, but both Blake and Trent McClain, thumbs down.
Copy.
A resounding thumbs down.
Four thumbs down between their two arms apiece.
I like to think of the two of them in an at-the-movie style, Siskel and Ebert. You know, they review it, and Don's like, all right, what do you think?
Here's how I saw it, Dad.
Well, you know why I said it that way? Because when they came home, I said, how was the movie? And they just went thumbs down. Oh. They didn't even say anything.
There you go.
They didn't plug their nose and do it like somebody farted, like, oh, there. The great Don McLean, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, it was. We love him, and he is our BFF, and he's been fabulous all basketball season. Now we turn to the draft, and nobody knows more about the draft than Don McLean. And offseason NBA acquisitions.
That's right.
Correct. We'll be right back with your Dead and Alive Guy birthday of the day, and then can the Dodgers do it? Can Colonel Cates' Dodgers answer the bell?
Petros and Money. Available on the free iHeartRadio app. Now.
Now I've heard there was a secret chord that David played and it pleased the Lord.
But Matt and I here in Colonel Cates' really army, just check him out with his army hat.
It's just a coffee shirt. Yeah, it's called Black Rifle.
And then the hat.
And then you got a Lynx Soul hat that's got like a private insignia on it.
You
That's a
like
great call.
Private game. It's time for the dead guy birthday.
Well, sadly, he is a dead guy for the first time on the Petros and Money Show. It was a regular alive guy celebration. The greatest.
You know what they're going to say.
Well, no, because he passed away. It is, mid-July? He passed away.
I mean, I'm not saying what.
November,
look,
December.
Matt, is there really any logic? Is there really any time logic to it? I'm just saying you know what they're going to say.
We didn't kill Alex Trebek. All right, we did. He passed away.
No, you did.
You never celebrated him, huh?
Aaron did. No, I never did. I'm not a Jeopardy guy.
Happy would have been 81st to George Alexander Trebek. Born in Sudbury, Ontario. Parents, Ukrainian immigrants. Grew up in a bilingual French-English household. He was a handful in high school. Got kicked out of boarding school. Parents sent him to military college.
We know what like a crazy Canadian he was.
Nuts. Oh, nuts.
Drinking Molsons all over the freaking, leaving the bottles everywhere, eh? Calling everybody
syrup right out of the jug.
Yeah, calling everybody a hoser.
They said cut your hair when he got to the military college, and he said,
I'm letting my freak flag fly.
No. And that would be a theme throughout his career, by the way. So he dropped out. He ended up at the University of Ottawa. Got a degree in philosophy, graduated in 61, emphasis, debate, and broadcast news. Landed a gig with the CBC, the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. And it paid off. According to Trebek, I went to school in the morning, worked at nights, and I did everything. At one time, replacing every announcer in every possible job. He would read the national news. He provided sports commentary, specifically curling and horse racing. But the big break came with Trebek's first hosting job, Music Hop. In 1963, that got him a high school quiz show called Reach for the Top. 69, he hosted Strategy. And then for a couple years, and this is the key to his great success, Trebek was a radio guy. Did mornings in Toronto.
You know, this radio guys stick together. Like us and that Jeff Schwartz.
You got to fill. You got to improvise. Trebek could do exactly that.
You need a
that.
Radio man.
Exactly right. He was a radio man.
That's why Regis made it so long, you know?
Exactly right. We almost didn't get him. He was a finalist for Hockey Night in Canada.
Oh, he would have been up there with Cherry?
He was the preferred choice of the producer, Ralph Mellenby. Remember, he left military college because they said, cut your hair, and he said no. Mellenby said, you know, the boss wants you to ditch the mustache. Trebek said, I ain't ditching no goddamn mustache.
Too bad.
So they hired Dave Hodge. And Trebek came to the States. Wizard of Oz in 73, High Rollers, Double Dare, the $128,000 question.
I'll take the physical challenge.
He did Battle Stars for Merv Griffin, and when Griffin wanted to revive Jeopardy, original host Art Fleming took a pass, so he leaned on Trebek. He started hosting in 84, was the host until his death late last year, 36 years. He also did Classic Concentration and To Tell the Truth Simultaneously, the only person to host three game shows simultaneously. In the genre's history.
Killed the guy just doing that one card sharks. It's a tough job.
He was a shark. I gotta kill you. He's married twice, two kids, owned and managed a 700-acre ranch near Paso Robles. Bred and trained thoroughbreds. Sadly, cancer got him. Fought it for 20 months. Stars on the Hollywood and Canadian Walk of Fame. 8-time Emmy winner.
hard to go up to the Canadian Walk of Fame, wipe that snow off. And every once in a while, there'll be like an igloo on top of one, and you're like, hey, could you move this, eh? So I can see Pamela Anderson star, eh?
Hey, loser. Yeah.
All right, Matt, we're going to get back down to Korean business. I'm feeling good about my previous jaunt.
It's a good outing.
Into South Korea earlier in the week, and I feel even better about this one. So beating out Selena Gomez is Tablo, a.k.a. Daniel Lee. Tablo, also Canadian, born in Korea, raised in Jakarta, and then Canada due to his father's work. Went to Stanford. Big controversy about that. He said he graduated with a double major, and there were these people in Korea that were obsessed, saying, no, he didn't. And it got all the way back to Stanford. There was a documentary. Stanford dean is like, no, this is his degree. Here it is. He's got both.
He's got two.
And still, they didn't believe. Yet your answer still became a real thing.
The hell? That's not cool.
Korea's a tough, tough town.
That's not cool.
It's like the New York media out there. He's a hip-hop band guy from the K-pop, hip-hop era. His band, Epic High.
Okay.
With a K. Epic High. Big success in 2003 all the way till now. He's got solo albums, too. Very popular is Daniel Lee, a.k.a. Tablo. But let's get to it. The titles.
What? I gotta pull
what,
it up.
What is right?
Gotta pull it up.
High kick!
It's not through the roof.
It's just the exclamation.
We'll still take the high kick.
I think it's a variation on the high kick through the roof show.
Right.
Mapping the human soul. Mapping the human soul. Remapping the human soul.
Such a great success. We got to do this one again. Sequel.
Now, he's got a few of these titles that are just like three things that are kind of, I know it's Three Things Thursday, but three things that are sort of like related.
But they don't feel like
they don't
related.
Have commas, but it's just interesting titles, you know? Definitely different.
Okay.
Solitude, grief, love. All right. Owls, shadows, tears. All right. Take that. Bone us. Or could be Bone U.S., but I didn't see any dot there.
I mean,
I think it's just bonus.
Was U.S. capitalized?
No. Bonus.
All right, bonus.
Maybe it's bonus. Like bonus. Maybe it was a bonus.
Bone us.
Woman of matchless beauty. God damn it.
Pushed it. Bridge too far, man.
If I write them down, I do it. City of Hope, Dodger pregame. Physicians and researchers are relentlessly working together. Relentlessly. To turn powerful science into life-saving new cancer treatments, learn more at cityofhope.org. Kenley Jansen blows fourth game of the season.
Why'd you say blows like that?
It's written all caps.
Is somebody that perhaps presents this script to us still upset about Kenley's effort?
I don't see any dots, so it's not B-L-O-W-S.
You blew it.
Second since the All-Star break. Giving up a two-run jack to Wilmer Flores in the ninth. Dodgers now two back of the Giants in the NL West.
They had it won. Colorado game, won. Giants game, won. Those games are won.
Walker Buehler takes on filthy Italian Anthony DeSclafani. Coming up next, Dodgers on deck with Tim Cates. Look, they got to win this. You don't win this, you might as well flush the season down the toilet.
That's exactly right. Must-win game, right?
Must-win.
Just ask Chris Taylor.
Just ask Kirsten.
Is this a must-win game? Yeah. No. But I don't
define must win. You know, we're like, you gotta win. See you tomorrow at Brewery X at 3 o'clock. Be there. Bring your friends, it's big.
When you want Dodgers, the only home is AM570 LA Sports.
Leon's Transmission is the place to go for that very complex component of your beautiful vehicle. And if your vehicle is a little bit older, you know what's necessary.